T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're out here till 3 o'clock today. Our Saints pep rally. Come on out, say hi. We are going to open it up for questions here next segment from fans. And Rouses is raffling away 2 Saints tickets. You can put your name in for that drawing. We'll draw that just before 3 o'clock. Saints-Rams tomorrow at 2:05 in the Superdome. And our coverage on WWL begins at 10 a.m. with Fans First Take with Steve Court and myself. Noon, it's countdown to kickoff. And then Zach Deuce and Steve Geller will be along for kickoff right at around 2 o'clock. So if we get into the quarterback battle here, guys, it's obviously the future Hall of Famer Drew Brees against the young up-and-comer in Jared Goff. But Drew Brees has been sensational in the playoffs in his career. 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, a 100.9 rating in the playoffs. And it's even better in the Superdome, Bobby.
Well, it's even better. This is going into the last week's game, to surpass the Eagles. That his completion percentage was at 69%, over 1,800 yards, 14 touchdowns, only 2 picks. But you look at that QB rating of 114.5. Compared to what Jared Goff has done lately, has only thrown for, like I said, for 220 yards once in the past 6 games. That's including the playoff victory against Dallas and a passer rating only 74. Now, this is encouraging. Okay, what have you done for him lately? Where are they at this season, and what the Saints are doing this season in the passing game? New Orleans at home has gained more than 2 yards per pass attempt.
A higher average.
Yes, more than 2 yards per pass attempt at home versus on the road, and Drew has thrown more than twice as many passing touchdowns at 24 compared to on the road 11. So he's just more efficient, more touchdowns. And I just think that's where we got the advantage. Listen, I love Jared Goff. If you look at his, they each threw 32 touchdown passes this year. They both have a quarterback rating overall of 100. Drew was even better. But I just like the experience of Drew Brees. So that's where I can tell you, Deuce, you probably would agree with this. Drew Brees can't play good. Drew Brees got to play great. I'm just telling you, going against the Rams, Drew Brees has to have a great game. And we cannot afford to start the game like we did against the Eagles. You know what time?
So in your definition of great, what is great?
Like taking care of the football. If you do throw a pick, do you have three touchdowns maybe to 1 pick instead of like 2-1?
So that's a good game or a great game?
I would say a great game. If he can get 3+ touchdowns, and because if he throws a pick, he has to counteract that.
Right.
And the one thing we did against the Rams the first time around, which was not the case against the Eagles, in the first quarter, we had 150 yards. What did we have against the Eagles? 0?
4.
Yeah. I mean, so we had 150, and we were winning 14-7. So, and then we all know we came about, we're up 35-14. I don't know. To me, I don't know if we could do it. We got to get off to a fast start. The crowd will be into the game. And instead of maybe going back and forth, but I think it's imperative because the Rams are way better than the Eagles to me. I mean, so I think we got to get off to a great start.
Yeah, the quarterback disparity is certainly real here. In his road games this season, Jared Goff, 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 60% completions, okay. And his rating's 82.7, Deuce.
Yeah, well, I agree with Bobby as far as a fast start. You know, it's important for the Saints to come up with 10, 14 points, even 7. I mean, you can live with 7 in the first quarter. You know, it'll be hard. You will be hard-pressed if they're down 10-0 or 14-3 at the end of quarter one, just because you're playing a more explosive team, you know, whether they're running, trying to run the football, or Goff is on tomorrow.
Yeah, well, the Saints are only averaging over 6 points a game in the first half in the last 5 games. That's kind of crazy, in the first half.
Yeah, but because we've been unbelievable in the first quarter, in the fourth quarter, the second quarter. God, I got this somewhere in my notes, but I think I can remember it off the top of my head. The second quarter, how, you know, Sean Payton, we've talked about this a number of times on different shows, is that the way the NFL is possessions, how many possessions you have, do you go with momentum at halftime, and are you getting the ball come the third quarter? I could see the Saints If we win the coin toss, we defer it. And challenging our defense. I don't say you got to get a three and out, but somehow come up defensively where you don't give up any points. But you defer, but then you get the ball to start the third quarter. I can see Sean Payton, that extra possession, wanting to score before halftime and then getting that ball to start the second half where you kind of get that momentum. Now, with that being said, easier said than done, we were outstanding in the second and the fourth quarter, but you know who's the number one team in the second quarter? The Rams. Mm-hmm. The Rams average 11 points in the second quarter. We averaged 10. But in the fourth quarter, we were way the Rams weren't even in the top three. We were number one, still getting 10 points to close out games.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow in the Superdome, 2:05, the kickoff there. If we're talking about the offense, so much has been talked about the headset and Sean McVay in Jared Goff's ear to 15 seconds and the crowd noise, and we've that's kind of been played out here. But what I'm expecting, and I'm curious to know what you think, Deuce and Bobby, hurry up in the tempo here for the Rams. They tried this in that first game against the Saints, the first couple of drives. It didn't really work. So
that's what they do anyway, though.
Well, more on the road, though. I'm wondering if that's going to have an effect here and kind of limit and maybe help Goff manage the crowd, mitigate the crowd noise.
Yeah, that's what they do anyway. They normally go hurry-up offense, even if they're not snapping the ball with 25 seconds left on the play clock. They will call it muddle huddle or whatever. You know, the offensive line will stand 2 yards behind the ball. They'll sort of get up right there on the offensive to be able to give the signal and the call. The receivers normally will stay back at least with Goff, and then they'll go out to the left or the right side. What's interesting, and this is what Zach was saying yesterday, you know, the Superdome can play music up until the team goes to the line. Mm-hmm. So once that, if they do that muddle huddle,
that's interesting.
And okay. go and stand right there by the ball, even if they're not finna run the play, the Superdome has to stop playing the music.
Uh-huh.
So if they do that at 30 seconds, it's probably only, 5 seconds of music, if that, from the Superdome.
Yeah.
And so now it's only crowd noise. And normally, you know, a regular crowd would only start getting loud in the last 10 to 15 seconds, not the whole 35 seconds.
That's why Sean Payton coached them up, right?
Well, and the thing is, the crowd obviously can make a difference, but it's not like the Rams were chopped liver on the road. Everyone bragged about the Chargers being 7-1. I go, what about the Saints? We were 7-1 on the road, but the Rams were 6-2. So they have won on the road.
You can't discount that. They're a good team, Bobby. They're 13-3.
Right. No, but with that being said, you know, when you want to go hurry up, what did Sean Payton say? Time of possession. Who's going to ebb and flow the game? Now, you know how you could discourage the Rams from going fast pace? And, you know, you wanted your defense well-rested and all that. So what if they're going fast pace, but then, man, they just went three and out, and they hardly even had the ball. See, that's the thing. You can't let them go fast pace, and it's like a blitzkrieg when they're like, whoa. It's like a wall, and they're moving, and they're getting gashed. Like the Cowgirls got gashed. It was like, okay, they're going fast pace, and they're not slowing them down. That's when you got to come up with a big defensive stop to make it predictable. And then it's now, okay, go fast pace 39, but then, they didn't give me any clock, and we got another possession back because our defense stepped up.
Well, we'll see what happens again tomorrow, 2:05, the kickoff of the Superdome. We'll take a break. When we come back, if you're here, we're going to open it up for questions here on this mic. And there's a little air horn from Helen Santani, Maleficent, in front of that mic. From the crowd and also on the phone lines.
Yes. Air horn at this table?
Yes.
On your phone? Yes. Is that loud? That's not a noisemaker?
Not an artificial one the league quote-unquote counts.
They haven't addressed that yet.
It will get addressed.
It probably will be illegal next year.
Yeah, I can shout louder than that thing.
Oh, yeah. No, you have the air horn and you shout. Yeah. You got to do both.
Okay. Here we go. Coming back, Deuce, Bobby, Seth out here for our Saints Pep Rally. We're live at Rouse's in Metairie, the official supermarket of the Saints. 2,900 vets. That's Vets and Causeway. And remember, they're raffling off 2 Saints tickets here. We're here till 3 o'clock on WWL. Oh, we are amped up here at Rouse's, official supermarket of the Saints. 2,900 vets, Bobby, Deuce, and Seth. And we will open it up for questions here. If you got any comments, you just want to give your prediction for tomorrow here at the mic, and we'll also go to the phone lines at 504-260-1870. And Wayne's been waiting on hold for quite a while here. Wayne, welcome into the show. What's going on?
How y'all doing? Hey, Bob.
Doing well. How you doing?
Deuce?
Yes, sir.
I laughed for about 20 minutes after I heard that there's a marching group called the Camel Tubes.
Oh,
are
Bobby.
Really?
You talking about Bobby earlier?
Yeah.
He had to run to the restroom. I'm going to let him confirm or deny that story.
Yo, yeah, Bobby's not here to confirm or deny this.
I was thinking maybe it's that male sensation that's dancing with a towel on the sidelines. Maybe he was the camel toe.
I'm going to let Bobby handle that one. I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, Bobby will be back here in just a second. So we go from Wayne to Wayne B on the phone lines. Wayne B, welcome into the show.
Wayne M.
Wayne M. All right, we got Wayne B, we got Wayne M, we got Bruce Wayne.
Are the Rams in town already?
Yes.
They got to be whipped out already. I'd like to know what a day for a visiting team would be like. Is it going to take a lot more out of them or what? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, any time you visit, normally when you go East Coast to West Coast, they normally come a day early. But, I mean, it just really depends on the coach and his schedule on how they want to handle some things. A lot of times you like to get in a day early, be able to go to the stadium, see the stadium, have a walkthrough, that sort of thing. But that's not necessarily 100% that you have to do it. Some teams, hey, look, you know, during Katrina, we flew the day of. And I know some teams have flown the day of a game, and that takes a lot out of a team, particularly when you're talking about going to Seattle. Man, that's a tough trip, you know, and unless you're in California, Arizona, that's a tough trip for any team coming from Central or Eastern time zone going up to Seattle. And really, L.A. is the same, in my opinion. It's still about, 3.5-hour, 3-hour flight.
It is.
And so that's tough on the body, but at the end of the day, nobody cares. The Saints won't care.
No. A text from the 504, guys. Jet lag is real. Talking about the Rams there. There's a lot of talk this week, and you said they're here, Deuce, and I'll trust you on that. You know more than me. They weren't getting in here. They weren't getting in here. I guess they put out in the public that they weren't getting in here until today. Maybe a little gamesmanship there by Sean McVay.
Well, no, they may have. They are getting here today, but I know they have an event at in a couple hours. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, yeah. I heard they might not be getting here until too, but like you said, you don't change up your routine. What's worked for you? You know what I mean? Like, this has worked for them. This is what they've done the last 2 years under Sean McVay. They fly in the day before. Some teams fly in a couple of days before if it's a long trip, but you don't change it up if it's worked for you, right?
Yes and no. How much of success have you had with it? I mean, I think that would be the biggest deal. And normally each team is going to have some type of curfew as well. They'll have that schedule that they like to stick to and do some different things of that nature. Outside of that, it just really depends on how they want to handle their schedule.
All right, we'll go to, let's see here, Jim on the phone lines. Jim, welcome into the show. You're on with Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, and Seth Dunlap.
Good. Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Okay?
Yes, sir. Doing well.
I've been trying to ask you all if anybody has seen Kamara throw at practice.
Well, you think there might be some trickery, Jim?
I mean, I've seen him throw, but I don't know if it's necessarily accurate, but yes, he can throw. But I mean, you mean as far as lining up at quarterback at some position and then throw the football?
No, halfback or just halfback pass. I think
I don't want to get that deep into it, but yes, I've seen him throw the football. But this was just really on the side, you know, just messing around, throwing the ball.
We know Sean's got some tricks up his sleeves, multiple tricks up his sleeves. The one thing we were discussing, and I wonder, Deuce, you've been at a lot of these practices. We saw the three quarterback formation once this year. We know Sean has at least a couple of other looks in this he's holding. Do we see this maybe tomorrow, the three quarterback look on the field at the same time?
Well, it's really about opportunity. I think, you know, he's not going to run it just to run it. He wants to see something from that defense. And so whether it's tomorrow that we see
Super Bowl,
it, trust me, he's not holding back plays.
Right.
If he thinks he can use something that helps them score or at least get a first down, he's going to use it. I mean, there's no need to carry a play over to next year.
Yeah.
If it can help you in this game.
It could be a goal line play that you may be keeping in your fourth back pocket. Fourth and short, 2-point play. It depends on what they've seen the Rams or how they're trying to stop opponents. Yeah, you're utilizing. Same thing with Taysom Hill. If they think something's going to work with Taysom Hill, they utilize it. They ain't saving anything.
Well, they haven't saved Taysom.
I don't know. And it's amazing how Taysom Hill has been ever – I don't know if I've ever seen that, Deuce. One play when you think, like, God, I don't know how the game's going to turn out, but how he lights that fire under the team.
Well,
you know, whether it's on special teams.
Remember the kickoff return? We were looking for the offense to get going, and he has the big 40-yard kickoff return, and that starts to get him going. And then, obviously, the punt fake gets him going. So, I mean, it's been amazing to watch him be able to.
A block punt?
Well, the block punt as well.
I just think Taysom Hill, I just think he – I don't know, he's blessed. And he's prosperous, and I just think that
the Mormon
that,
missile.
That something
right.
something will like happen. That. Something will happen that'll help influence the team in a positive way to help the Saints win.
Yeah, Max Unger dubbing Taysom Hill the Mormon missile. Alvin Kamara letting in on that little inside nickname there. Let's go to David on the phone lines. David, welcome in with Bobby, Adus, and Seth. What's going on?
Hello,
David. You're on. Hey,
David, what
hey,
you got?
Hey, how we doing today, guys?
What everyone's blocking.
Oh, we're great. The question is, how are you doing? Are you ready for tomorrow?
Oh, I'm so ready for tomorrow. I've just got a few things to say is that the Saints have, I mean, completely done a turnaround on their rushing defense this year, from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. And if I know Sean Payton as well as I know him, he's the Bill Belichick of the AFC. He's Bill Belichick of the NFC, maybe even a better coach than Bill Belichick in my book. But what I will say is they will not run the ball against the Saints like they did Dallas. They caught Dallas off guard. Dallas didn't know where they were, what they were doing. They were confused. They couldn't get set. Sean Payton will have his defense ready. They win the game 37-23, bottom line.
Well, right, that would be a butt whooping. That would be along Jeff Duncan's lines. 37-23. That is not a close game. But yeah, listen, that's one thing, Deuce. They made a priority in the offseason. We got to play better run defense. First things first, when you're trying to be at least middle of the pack defense, and that's where we're at right now.
17.
Yeah. So Deuce, when you just break that down, what have we done defensively? No, Deuce, we're actually 14 right now. So when I look, we stopped the run. If we hadn't been number one, we won or two.
Well,
now,
number two.
Yeah.
You finished number two by 3 yards.
Yeah. Against Chicago. Yeah. And I want to bring that up because they're going to be well aware of this in the defensive meeting room as far as trying to stop the Rams' rushing attack and how they humbled the Cowgirls.
All right, we got some questions out here at Rouse's. We'll get those and more of your calls at 504-260-187. And welcome back to our Who Dat Pep Rally at Rouse's in Metairie. Vets and Causeway, 2,900 vets. Raffling off a couple of Saints tickets. And New York Times says gumbo is dead. No, it's not. You can come here at Gumbo Crabs, $4.99 each. Gumbo Crabs out here at Rouse's today. Pretty good deal. All right, well, time to open up the questions here to the crowd, and it is a large one. You can come on out and say hi to Bobby and Deuce. If you could say your name and then ask a question, and these guys to my left will go ahead and answer it.
All right, my name's John. I got two quick questions. Do you think David and
David Onyemata?
Yeah, David Onyemata and Taylor, you think those two will step up, you know, to go ahead and be able to handle that running game? Because I know 305 pounds, that's a big shoes to fill. And also, do you think that one time will Hill play defense, cornerback?
Nah. Okay. Yeah, a lot of thoughts to talk about that.
No, he wouldn't play cornerback. He'd be more like a safety in the box. Because he could tackle, kick off punt coverage. And I think he's athletic enough to cover people out of the backfield or run with a tight end in the seam, but not cornerback. Yeah. Even though he is fast, no, your hips and all that, Deuce, you know, that's a whole different animal to just throw out there. Listen, he is a utility guy, Swiss Army knife, but I don't think cornerback's in that Swiss Army knife in that resume.
If we see something like that, hopefully it's during the preseason and not
right,
tomorrow.
Right.
What about the interior of the defensive line?
Yeah, when you talk about Tyler Davidson and David Onyemata and Taylor Starworth, those guys all played. Even with Sheldon, I mean, the number of percentage of plays always depended on, you know, obviously who you were playing. I think they're going to be okay. You know, they signed Tyron Walker, who should be up and active. You know, it just really depends on what his conditioning was. And if he's not, then that really tells you that they feel good about the three defensive tackles that they have on the active roster.
Yeah, good questions there. Okay, next, name and then questions for Bobby and Deuce.
All right, my name is Lance. Hi, Mom, first of all. And second of all, do you think Taysom Hill should get more opportunities to throw the ball to, you know, the wide receivers and tight ends?
Well, they'll have plays. Listen, he threw a perfect pass and scored, just that you had a penalty on it. But it's not like all of a sudden you're taking the ball out of Drew Brees' hands. I mean, you know, you give an opportunity if that would come about. But it's not like, okay, Taysom Hill's throwing five passes in the game. No, that that'll never happen. I'm just telling you. And the perfect example, and we brought this up in the past. Listen, everybody follows college football. Tim Tebow was unbelievable. Heisman Trophy winner. Tim Tebow, shame on him. He could have been a Taysom Hill. I truly believe he was that athletic. The one thing about Taysom Hill, ultimate team player, great in the locker room, a great leader. I mean, if your daughter came home with Taysom Hill, you think you hit the lottery. Taysom Hill is too good to be true. But he, listen, if he throws a pass, I would expect him. He would throw. He'll throw one pass. He's not throwing. Maybe two, but it would be.
Bobby, you going to invite him in for some gumbo and sit down?
I think Taysom Hill isn't he married, Deuce? I think. Oh yeah, I tell you what, he is. He is too good to be true. He is an upstanding citizen, man. Like Drew Brees.
There you go. We have another question from the crowd here on a little napkin. I like the napkin pass here. Benjamin Watson's injury. Deuce, I know we talked about it before, but you can explain again.
Well, he has appendicitis, and so right now he did not have the surgery and technically has not been ruled out by the team. They are treating it with medicine. Even if he has a surgery, they don't know if the turnaround, if the Saints are able to win, if he would be able to play in the Super Bowl. So they're trying to treat it with medicine. So really up in the air on whether or not he's going to be able to play.
Well, you know, we always talk about the draft, even when it's not in the draft, getting ready to go to the Super Bowl. That is one position we're going to beat like a dead horse come of this offseason. Okay, what are we doing with the tight end position? Even though we signed Josh Hill, the only guy who's good, are we going to address that in free agency? Are we going to draft a top tight end? Because that is kind of the weak link, I think, where we're at offensively along with the backup receiving
corps.
Well,
Bobby, that horse is already dead. We beat it last year. It's still dead.
Well,
bring it back to life or something.
Well, I can tell you what. Listen, Michael Thomas can beat a double team. But, you know, our Tre'Quan Smith stepped up big time against the Eagles the first time around, had an unbelievable game. I don't care if it's Tre'Quan Smith. Whoever it might be, they got to help out Michael Thomas.
All right, another question.
They just got to make plays and help out the passing
game. Another question from the very large and awesome crowd out here at Rouse's. Name and then ask Bobby and Deuce what you got.
Yes, Jose from Thibodeau.
Okay. Hey, Jose.
Jose, what you got?
Andrus Pete, you know, I didn't know he had a broken hand, but he got kind of waxed. Last we had a bad game, let's say. So I'm sure they're addressing that. Are we going to chip or add an extra back on his side or switch positions? What are they going to do try to? Because there's a guy on the other side that we know about that knows that too.
Yeah. Two of them.
And so, yeah. And so when you key on him, the other guy has
without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's a great question, Jose.
Yeah, well, you're not going to switch positions. So, you know, Andrus Pete is going to be your left guard. Certain plays, they'll have back presence, you know, being able to chip through the A-gap.
The center helping him.
And the center will help as well. I mean, but you can't do it every game. Now, they're gonna help as much as possible with him. But, you know, also a handful of plays, let's say 12 drop back passes where he's probably going to be in one-on-one situations. And so
he has to pack a lunch. He got to be a grown-ass man. Well, I mean, half-stepping.
You're still two weeks removed from the surgery. And also, you know, I can't confirm it because obviously I don't see it. The brace or the cast may be smaller than what he had last week. So that may help as well. And then you have to remember, this will be the second game that he's playing with. So maybe the pain of using that hand is not as painful this time because he's had a little more time to heal. I mean, those are only things that we can hope and speculate on, but he's got to play.
Well, and the thing is, let me tell you, the Eagles, Fletcher Cox. Well, you know what? The Rams got two damn Fletcher Coxes. Now, think about that. Aaron Donald had 20 and a half sacks. Ndamukong Suh, motivated, is Fletcher Cox. So we got to pack a lunch, I'm telling you. We got to hold the ball bounce our way. We got to create turnovers. We got to protect it. We need to be on the plus side in that turnover margin, I truly believe. Let me give you this right quick.
Uh-oh.
Because if you look at what Dallas, all the Cowgirl fans, nobody can run on us. We're going to stuff the run. And
Bobby,
there was some proof in that in the past.
Bobby, when you talk about the Cowboys, what was their special thing as far as stopping the run, though? How they played the run?
Well, they were more like sideline to sideline.
They used the speed.
Speed, not north and south, and the Rams ran right at them.
Right.
If you look going north and south, not trying to outflank them. Now, the reason why I bring it up, though, you don't think the Rams, look at the game plan. This doesn't happen by accident. They ran the ball 39 times, not 29, 39 times for 238 yards, three touchdowns. Now, you look at the Cowgirls. They had not allowed eight, I should say they allowed 89 yards a game on the ground in the final eight games in a regular season. Okay, look when they beat the Seahawks in the playoffs. You know who's the number one running team in the NFL?
Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks. You know what the Seahawks gained against them? 73. That's why they got humbled more than anything. They were shocked how the Rams ran it down their throat because they thought that was their strength
for
them.
Well, they started feeling themselves a little too much. There. A lot of talk coming out of that Cowboys
locker
room.
So that's why I'm going to take the Saints in the defensive line, defensive meeting room. They know this. And they know they're going to have to really show up the whole game because the Rams are going to try and run the ball to help out Jerry Goff.
It's a great question, sir.
They don't want Jerry Goff throwing the ball 40
times. Great questions. We'll open it up again next hour. Thanks, everybody. We're going to take a break when we come back. Look, I'm not too superstitious of a guy, but I'm a little superstitious. We got to keep a tradition here we've done all year. We're going to play a little gimme one.
Start with this game.
We're going to play a little gimme one here. No peacocks or tarantulas this week. We'll keep it to football. Coming back next year. I got a little dilly-dilly. Yeah, Bud Knight's here out at Rouse's 2900 Vets in Causeway. It's Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Seth Dunlap till 3 o'clock on WWL. Boy, it is an awesome atmosphere out here at Rouse's. And you can be part of it. Come see Bobby and Deuce until 3. Deuce actually has a function to get to, so he's here until 2. Bobby and I will be out here until 3. They're also, Rouse's is raffling off a couple of Saints tickets. I see some people putting their names in that box over there. Rouse's will give away those two Saints tickets right at about 3 o'clock. We'll announce that on the air. Like I said, I'm a little superstitious here, I'm not going to shelf this. No, I can't shelf it because we're 4-0 in weeks so far after we've done these shows. So hopefully we're making it 5-0.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
We're 5-0. Exactly. So we're going to play a little gimme one here, guys. I want you to give me one thing as I ask you these questions. We'll start it off here. Give me one way Taysom Hill scores a touchdown tomorrow. There's lots of ways he can score one. Give me one way you think he's going to score
one. I would say running the ball. I would say somehow like a zone read. I don't know. That's probably playing the percentages.
That's chalk. You're chalk, Avery.
Yeah. I would say he would score in a zone read type play.
Yeah, I agree. Some type of running play for him, zone read or quarterback. They like to run a quarterback sweep with him as well.
All right. Give me one player to win NFC Championship MVP. I think we're all in the Saints here, so I'm guessing a Saints player, right?
I think the one thing the Rams are going to say, damn it, Michael Thomas burns the first time around, so it's not going to be Michael Thomas. I'm going to go with other guys stepping up, but Drew Brees. That Drew Brees spreading the wealth like he's always done, 8, 9, 10, 11, them receivers. But he'll count on other guys, but Drew Brees will be that guy because guys will step up and help him. And the quarterback's going to get the glory because he's the one who's throwing.
Well, and Alvin Kamara, I think his ability to be a runner and a receiver, and then if they're going to bracket and or follow Michael Thomas, I think, you know, hey, look, no knock against Barron. I think he's a good linebacker, but he can't cover him one-on-one.
If he was the four linebacker, he still can't cover
him. I'm all over Kamara here, too, against the 28th-ranked rush defense in the NFL this season. How about one player to win the AFC Championship MVP over there? That should be a fantastic game as well, fellas.
I like Brady in this game, and it's just because I don't want to go against him, but I think Tyreek Hill will have a big game against him.
Yeah, and I always wonder if Belichick, you know, he always schemes to stop one guy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Normally that guy's not a move guy.
True.
So with Tyreek Hill, he's a guy they can put in the slot. He can line up as a receiver. He's a move guy. Normally you have a tight end. When he flexes out, we're going to clamp. We're going to put two guys on him.
Well,
when he's on in the line of scrimmage, we can put two guys on him. Well, so with him being a move guy, how do they do that?
Well, I'm going to go in the millennial bandwagon, and I think this would do volumes for future quarterbacks. Pat Mahomes is going to get off. Pat Mahomes is going to get off at home because, look at that game at New England. I mean, didn't the Patriots control the ball and they kicked the game-winning field goal to beat Kansas City and how that comeback? So I'm going to go. All I know is the weather is not a factor with these two teams. And no, it's no dumb excuse.
No.
The Patriots and the Chiefs are the same animal when it comes to playing outside when it's freaking cold as hell.
Well, I'll tell you this. Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time in a lot of areas. He's the greatest cold weather quarterback, and it's not even close. Under 30 degrees, which is what it's going to be tomorrow, he's 24-4 in his career. It's incredible. And if it somehow gets back to under 20 degrees, he's 5-1 in his career.
Well, and all I know is, listen, I want Andy Reid. Who hates on Andy Reid? Andy Reid. I would maybe want Andy Reid if the Saints can't win a Super Bowl, for him to win it, because I think he's good people. But you know he's only 2-6 against New England.
But he's 2-2 with the Chiefs. Two of those wins are blowouts.
Right. But 2-6 when you look at that. Now, the Chiefs, they kind of blue-collar. They're just like us. They're from the Midwest. The Chiefs have not reached they reached their first Super Bowl, I should say, since 1969. Yeah, that, dude, that is, whoa.
It's a 50 long time,
years.
Bobby.
Dude, you weren't even – I wasn't even – no, I was born. You weren't born.
No, Bobby, not in 69.
So you teed this one up for me here. This is a little sports talk. You're having fun with this one. These are all great coaches, right, that are
right.
remaining.
Oh, without
Who's
a doubt.
The worst coach of the remaining four coaches?
I'd say McVay, Sean McVay, because he don't have enough skins on the wall. I think Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Belichick, that's the only reason why I'm having that opinion. Because Sean McVay,
those are three Hall of Fame guys, right?
Yeah, potentially. Well, now Andy Reid got to win a Super Bowl. Maybe.
All three have coached in the Super Bowl outside of McVay, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. As head coaches.
Yeah.
Now the Eagles didn't win it when Andy Reid took them there, but
with Donovan McNabb,
McNabb, but they did make it. So I think if you're going off of that criteria, it would be Sean McVay.
Yeah, he's still like a virgin. I mean, come on, he's like a young guy. He's trying to. Do something, and I think
he is a freshman in college here, sophomore.
He is special. Right. I think Sean McVay is special, but he got to put more skins in the wall.
All right, give me one quarterback to win more Super Bowls in his career, Mahomes or Goff? In his career, not this year necessarily, in his career.
I like the Chiefs going forward.
So do I a lot.
That it might be if I'm looking at long term, because the way the Rams are structured.
The Rams are structured bad right now. They got a little cap money, but they got to pay a lot of people.
No, because they're all-star team so I'm thinking going forward that I would go with Mahomes over Goff just from the team concept.
What about you, Deuce?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think from a cap situation, the Rams, they're going to have to shuffle some guys around.
The Rams are all in right now. We say the Saints.
Yeah.
The Rams, that is a formula that has worked, and it works good for players in the future for free agency.
I can win a championship, and then I don't get paid.
We got to finish it off this way. Give me one way you want the Saints to finish off a win against the Rams. A Will Lutz kick, Saints defense closing it out, or a Drew Brees drive?
Well, a Drew Brees drive, because that'd be very humbling. But I don't care if Will Lutz has a game-winning kick. We just got to freaking win the game. I don't care if it's about 1 point.
You give me all of the bugs. Yeah, Jeff. I don't care. I just want to win.
All of the bugs.
It don't even have to be one of those. It can be another. Other option where they're up 10 and – you know, we're running out the clock, so it doesn't have to be just
– man, we just got to win.
All right, Deuce, you got to get out of here, man.
We're in desperation mode. No problem.
Deuce.
Deuce is heading over with Zach Streif. Bobby and I hanging out for another hour. You can come on out. We're at Rouse's at Causeway and Vets in Metairie until 3 o'clock. Great crowd here. Come out. We'll open it back up for more questions from the audience. And you can win a pair of Saints tickets from Rouse's. Get your party platters and black and gold king cakes, too. Seth Dunlap, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister for our Saints Pep Rally on WWL. Out at Rouse's in Metairie. Big crowd here. One more hour to go. And you can come on out as we get ready for the Saints-Rams and the NFC Championship. And just about a 24-hour warning here before kickoff tomorrow at 2:05. Here's a text from the 985 who says he has a dream last night, a walk-off from Will Lutz. I would take that very Garrett Hartley of him. We've got to go to break. Bobby Hebert and I back. Deuce is out. Got to go do some stuff for Fox, but plenty more to come. We're giving away footballs, and Rouse is giving away tickets here, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.